The black eyes widened, and so did the lazy smile. "I do not miss him at all," murmurs she, with a little chuckle. "But do you truly think I am defenceless?" One of the things that has always enchanted me about African women with an appetite is that they don't waste time before indulging it. Where their European sisters have to be jollied into the supine position, often over weeks, like my fat Fraulein, ladies of colour tend to make straight for the mutton. I think of Ranavalona of Madagascar, who had me fornicating underwater within a few minutes of our meeting, Black Aphrodite and the Buffalo Wallow, and dear Mrs. Popplewell, who couldn't wait to get the door shut. Hardly. And here was this elegant barbarian giving an invitation if ever I heard one, and she'd even got her escorts out of the way. "It depends who's attacking you," says I, and leaning close to her, I took that voluptuous lower lip between both of mine, very gently at first, and then, as her mouth stirred, interested-like, my better nature asserted itself, and I was about to apply the flashman half-Nelson, buttock in one hand, tit in t'other, when she drew her head back from mine, without undue haste, surveyed me calmly for a moment, then took my face between her hands and kissed me lightly, with a touch of her tongue along my lips. "What is the name of the place on Lake Tana where you are to wait for me?" she asked. "You have forgotten. A little dalliance, a wanton kiss, and it has gone from your mind like chaff in the wind." "Bahirdar," says I, "where the Abai River leaves the east bank of Lake Tana," and would have gone for her in earnest, but she burst out laughing and slid from my grasp, catching my wrists in hands surprisingly strong. "No, enough. This is not the place or the occasion, and we have long miles to travel before dawn." To my astonishment, she held out a hand, inviting me to shake it. "I should have known better than to doubt one who has the trust of the Basha Falaka and the wise old soldier who smiles." She was smiling herself now, without mockery, and it's how I think of her still. The proud Ethiopian head with its laughing eyes, and the lovely oiled limbs shining in the firelight. "Perhaps we shall be dangerous for each other," she says. "But I think we shall travel well together." I know when to let it be, so I accepted her handshake and asked if she had any further instructions for me. She thought for a moment, and the laughter went out of her eyes. "One thing more. I know you have been at war since before I was born, and are a seasoned soldier accustomed to command. But you do not know Habesh. I do. And on a journey, my word must be law. If there is danger of a sudden, and I command, you obey at once, without question. Is it so?" I knew from her look that she was half expecting an argument, so I didn't give her one, but nodded, grave-faced, and touched my brow in acknowledgement. "In your own words, Lubberwalk, I think we shall travel well together." She liked that, as I meant she should. It was close on midnight, and the chill of the late evening was turning to bitter cold as we made ready for the road. The two escorts had materialized from the dark without being summoned, so far as I could see, and they saddled the horses and doused the fire. The knightly one spoke to Ulaba in Amharic, pointing off into the dark, evidently suggesting a line of march. They conversed for a minute. She shook her head, and he gave a little shrug as though to say, "Please yourself, but," and signed to his mate to take the lead. So we left the little hollow, Ulaba riding second, myself third, and the knight in the rear. It was slow going at first, in pitch darkness over uneven, stony ground, but after an hour the moon rose, and Ulaba had us moving at a steady canter. It was the first time since arriving in Napier's camp that I'd had a decent spell for reflection, and by rights I should have had two foods for thought. One, how on earth I was going to keep a whole skin in the trials ahead, and two, a pleasant daydream in which I showed the imperious Madame Ulaba that while she might command in emergencies, she'd take orders from Flashy when it came to thrashing the mattress. But I couldn't give proper attention to either, because as we rode through the still dark, frozen by the biting wind despite our cloaks, I felt a growing unease that I couldn't place. You might say my predicament was cause enough, but 'twasn't that. Unknown danger ahead is one thing, but this was close and imminent, instinct telling me that out there, beyond